Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
The doctor is in!
Now to speak with Dr. Ray Guarendi, 877-573-7825. From conception to eternity, Dr. Ray wants to visit with you about the important things in your life. No matter what you're dealing with, Dr. Ray has great advice for you.
The doctor is in. The doctor is in. The doctor is in.
877-573-7825. Start dialing now. The call and the advice are free.
The doctor is in. The doctor is in. The doctor is in.
Well, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. Oh, I like being here. But I'm establishing a nationwide system of self-help groups. I figured it this way. With a lot of you folks calling in here talking about how much you have a hard time with discipline and you use words instead of action and you just simply repeat yourself and re-remind and negotiate and carry on and go on and on, it would be more efficient for me to branch out, attempt to establish in every city and every state, every town, every burg, every village, a group of like-minded folks struggling with the same problem. I need a name. You know, you got Al-Anon. You got Alcoholics Anonymous. Families Anonymous. A lot of anonymous type stuff, you know. There's so many of those anonymous groups. I was in a whole bunch of them. Not everybody knows me. But if you talk too much, ramble on, like a radio host or a nagging parent, I got a group. I'm going to call it On and On Anon. Just by the name, I think we'll spread ourselves throughout the land. Good morning, Wes. Good afternoon, East. The doctor is in. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Number to get onto the program to ask questions about the stuff of life. There. How's that for short intro? I want to get straight into what I was talking about. Last hour in the program. Lady called in. She said, "You made me think." A 13-year-old daughter that's been unpleasant, disrespectful. Everybody else thinks she's wonderful, of course, of course. So I gave her an essay. Gave her a 150-word essay. Although Mom called it a 157-word essay. I don't know why she did that. Essay dyslexic or something. I didn't get what I thought I'd get. Instead, my daughter, in the essay, decided to tell me what she thought of me. And what she thought of me was not good. What she thought of me was how many things she didn't like about me. Mom said, "I didn't know what to do. This didn't turn out like I thought." I, being a sensitive post-zeros guy, offered a number of suggestions unrelated to her specific question. For example, I said, it's a situation that had to be handled delicately and with love and compassion and concern and charity, as we were all called. So I said, "What? 150 words for being mistreated?" See how sensitive I am? Colleen calls it free friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. I call it costly in your face advice, and it isn't advice. Costly in your face orders from a Catholic perspective. Or at least my understanding of a Catholic perspective, anyway. I suggested that the essay be much longer. I based that on the reality that God thinks that Mom is so important that He gave her His own commandment with her name specifically mentioned in it. That's how important He thinks it is to honor your father and mother. He thinks it's a big one. I said, you know, if your daughter stole, you would have no trouble dealing with the stealing, rather, firmly because it's a commandment, right? Thou shalt not steal. Why do we permit our children to abuse the fourth commandment? Honor thy father and mother. Well, as long as you honor other people, as long as you're nice to your teacher, as long as everybody else thinks you're a great kid. And Mom realized that. She was a sweet lady. And she realized, yeah, I'd been letting this go on for a long time. Then I said, what do you do about the disrespect in the essay? In essence, all that happened here is that her daughter went from slander, the spoken word, to libel, the written word. I would suggest that not only does the slanderous and libelous essay not count, but it's another instance of disrespect. So it leads to another essay. So now she's got the first one for the mouth, and then the second one for the on paper. But I then said the far bigger, and I did not use the word issue. I used a much more guy word, substratum. You just don't hear that word flung around. The far bigger substratum of this whole thing is that the daughter views Mom a certain way. That at age 13, the daughter has not come to recognize that even though she might be upset at her mother, even though she might not like what her mother says and does about certain rules and limits and expectations, this is still her mother, and to mistreat her mother. Because Mom called and said, yeah, she was just screaming and yelling at me, so I gave her a 150-word essay. And I noted the incongruity between getting screamed at and yelled at and giving a 150-word essay. You know, the average 13-year-old can write a 150-word essay in 6 to 10 minutes. That's squat. That's nothing. Is that really what we wish to convey? That screaming and yelling at me is worth a consequence of 6 to 10 minutes? Mom pointed out that the daughter was sobbing while she wrote the essay. And I said, was she sobbing because she felt so badly about the way she talked to you? Or was she sobbing because she was writing this stupid essay? Mom said, oh, no, she was just mad because she was writing an essay. So there was no sense of remorse here. The daughter's perception was, you have no right to do this to me. Who do you think you are? And the fact that the daughter doesn't recognize that Mom thinks she's Mom tells us that maybe Mom hasn't taught her that yet. And Mom was very gracious about it. I was much kinder to her. You know, I was. I was taking a page from Colleen's book, Free Friendly. Mom recognized, yeah, I got to rethink a whole bunch of things because my daughter feels free to simply mistreat me like this. And I'll tell you what, guys, I can't tell you, as I've been in this business longer, how corrosive to a relationship that is when you permit, and most of us do permit it, a child to mistreat you or a sibling. It permeates a relationship. You like it coming from a spouse? How does it make you feel coming from a spouse? Why does it feel any less troublesome coming from a kid? Kid may not be quite as accountable because they're not as old, but the behavior's still the same. In many respects, the behavior's even nastier. 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, number to get on the program. Doctor is in, doctor is out, doctor be back.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray.
Now, don't you feel better?
This program made possible in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The Ave Maria Mutual Fund family is designed for investors who are looking for financially sound investments in companies that adhere to the core teachings of the Catholic Church. Ave Maria Funds offer well-diversified investment portfolios that choose only companies that do not support abortion, pornography, or non-marital partner benefits. Every stock and bond must meet strict financial criteria set by the portfolio managers and analysts at Schwartz Investment Counsel. For more information or an investor's kit, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or AveMariaFunds.com.
Performance data quoted represents past performance, which is no guarantee of future results. Investment return and principal value are historical and may fluctuate so that the redemption value may be worth more or less the original cost. Prospective investors should read the prospectus carefully and consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses carefully before investing. The prospectus, which can be obtained by calling 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at AveMariaFund.com, contains this and other information. Distributed by Ultimate Fund Distributors, LLC.
To kick off their new family year, the Family of Faith Apostle had held a men's night. Deacon Alex Jones was the speaker.
But our Lord himself said, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. So Paul says, if we want to fulfill the Christian vocation, if we want to fulfill the Christian call, we must realize we cannot do it ourselves. We are sinners. We are born in sin, conceived in iniquity. And even though God loves us, and though we were made to live a good life, there's a part of us that is drawn to the darkness. There's a part of us that's drawn to the evil.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting on the Mind of Christ. Fathers and sons from across the Detroit metro area gathered a few weeks ago to hear former Protestant pastor and now Catholic deacon Alex Jones talk about manhood in Christ. Join us as Deacon Alex talks about putting on the armor of God on the next Putting on the Mind of Christ. Listen to Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEL, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Prime parental embarrassing a child song. This is the kind of song that I can show my teenage daughters my dance moves. Like right now, I'd be doing the swim.
Mm-hmm.
Or the jerk. Or the frog. Of course, when I dance, it's kind of like a frog in a blender. But those were dances. For the life of me, I cannot understand why none of those have replaced the tango. The cha-cha. I don't get it. The waltz. You see somebody who really, really is good at doing the frog, and you're thinking to yourself, why isn't this guy on Broadway? Philip from Louisville, Kentucky. Hey, Philip.
Dr. Ray.
How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Thanks.
All right. Okay, here's my question. I did not grow up, have the best childhood, so to say. With my four-year-old daughter, I'm trying to be the kind of parent. You know, of course, I want to be strict. I want her to know right from wrong. But I don't want to be too extreme with it either. A lot of times when I've been told that I explain things to her too much when she's in trouble. If I tell her not to do something, you know, I'll explain to her, I don't want you doing this because. So my question, is it good to say, to explain, okay, I don't want you doing this because, or I don't want you to do it because I said so?
Explanations are good with a couple of caveats. One, most parents make them way too long. If it's not right to make a screaming noise in mass, you can explain to her the first time or two why it's not right after you discipline her. But after that, you don't have to go through the explanation each and every time. You can simply say, honey, you're making noise in mass again. And then you take her out.
Mm-hmm. For an example, like last night, it's bedtime. And I say, okay, it's time to turn off, go to bed, turn off the TV. And I get a why.
Do you want to sit there and explain to her why? And let me ask you another question here, Philip. After you've done that, has she ever looked at you and said, oh, Father, thank you. Of course I'll turn the television off. Since you've explained it so clearly, it makes such good sense to me. Well, I most certainly will. That ever happen?
No, it hasn't.
Right. And you're going to find out it's not going to happen either. The reason is, it's not so much that kids don't understand, it's that they don't agree. You asked her to do something she didn't want to do. She wanted to turn the TV off and go to bed. When you said, please, honey, turn the TV off and go to bed. And she said, why? Which basically means, I don't want to. Justify yourself, father. And you try to justify yourself. All right, I'll tell you what I'll do. You do a test. Are you ready?
Yes.
The next time you're in that similar situation, I want you for 1 hour to sit and explain to her why she should turn the television off and go to bed. Yeah, yeah. You think she'll look at you and say, oh gosh, you know, I don't think you'll ever have to ask me a second time again, father, because your explanation has been so detailed. You'll find out very quickly that this is not a matter of I want to know my father. This is a matter of I want to argue with you. I would suggest this. Simple rule of thumb, Philip. When you make a request of a little kid, and it's something that you've done many times before, I'm sure that there have been many times when you said, okay, honey, it's time to turn the TV off.
Yes.
All right. You don't need to give an explanation every time. You've already given 27,000. When's enough going to be enough? If she says why, first of all, I wouldn't respond much myself. I might say something, because it's time to go to bed, honey. And that's about the explanation she's going to get from me. Because I recognize it is not a matter of, gee, I need to explain this to her so that she'll be cooperative. It's a matter of, if I do much more than that, this is going to turn ugly.
Mm-hmm.
True? Isn't that reality?
Yes.
Here's the bigger, as I said, substratum for you. You don't want to raise her like you were raised. So you're trying very legitimately and very kindly as a dad to say, I'm going to do everything in my power to help her to understand how much I love her and how much I'm doing these things for her own good. Because my parents didn't do that. My parents were erratic, or my parents yelled, or my parents said, my way or the highway, punk. So, I'm going to be different. Philip, you already are different. You're already trying not to yell and scream. You're already a daddy who's involved in her life. You're already a daddy who, when you discipline, you don't want to be a crazy man. But if you overcompensate too much, and that is by going too far in this direction of, well, honey, because let's just all get along, and I'll give you an explanation in detail as long as it takes every time I ask you to do something, my friend, you're going to go nuts. I'll take it even a step further. I would bet that if you get pulled into that kind of interaction with your daughter regularly, you're going to start to feel and act like you say your own parents felt and acted. You're going to be so frustrated that you're just going to explode. Turn it off! Now!
Sometimes I do catch myself doing that.
Yeah, it's easy enough to do. Easy enough to do. We can all slip into that. Because we're thinking, well, gee, I asked her nice. I gave her a reasonable explanation. I gave her two reasonable explanations. I even sat down and rephrased it a third way. I still can't get her to say, I love you, Daddy. Time to go to bed. Night, night. Don't let the bed bugs bite. No, she's sitting there fighting me. Right, because she's a kid. And that's what they do, if we let them. So what I'd suggest here, Philip, get yourself some house rules, a few house rules, regarding TV, regarding toys, regarding fits, regarding listening the first time you're told, whatever those house rules are, put your consequences on them. Honey, if I ask you a second time, you're going to sit on the steps. Sweetheart, when I tell you to turn the TV off, please get up and turn it off, because if you don't, I don't know if I'm going to let you watch it next time around. Some house rules that you know what you're going to do, make it very clear, and trust me, in every way, shape, or form, your daughter's not going to love you less because of this. You'll have
one more question.
Go ahead.
You mentioned fits. you know, a lot of times for a long time I was pretty lenient, but probably way too lenient. I mean, so there are times that, you know, sometimes, most times, if I tell her to do something she wants to do, not as much anymore because I've become a little more strict. You know, I'll get, okay, Haley, turn the TV off. And immediately a screaming, crying, no, I don't want to, no. What do I do in a situation like that?
Well, you just need to explain it better, that's all. Yeah, maybe another 2 hours, 2.5 hours, because by that time she will have fallen asleep. Well, I'll tell you, a four-year-old can throw fits, although they should be getting to the age where fits are starting to fade away. Unfortunately, in an awful lot of American homes, that's not the way it is. But I will say this, personally, and although many experts don't give this kind of thought, I do. I don't like fits. And personally, I put some pretty significant consequences on fits. I may put 3, 4, 5, 6 consequences on it. She throws a fit like that, and the next time she asks me for TV, I'll just look at her and say, oh, no, 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 you have no TV, honey. Not after that fit you threw. Oh, no. She may come to me and say, Daddy, can I have some of my Halloween candy? Oh, no, sweetheart, you have no Halloween candy today. Not after that fit you threw. At which point she'll throw another fit.
Right.
And then I'll just start over then. No, I'm gonna put pretty significant consequences on fits. I'm not gonna allow a 4-year-old to go ballistic. No way. It's not to say that's
stop.
Right. Oh yeah. Let me share with you something. I got 10 kids, okay? And at one point we had 10 kids ages 12 and under.
Oh.
My wife rarely dealt with fits. And the reason she did is because very, very early on, when the kids were in their most fit-prone years, you know, that 18 months, 2 years, 2.5, 3, she dealt with them pretty straight on. She flat out, man, you throw a fit, you're gone. You're in your room, you're on the steps, there will be consequences real quick. We don't mess with this. And whatever you're throwing a fit about is taken. Well, they learned that, so that by age 4 or so, we really didn't have any fits from anybody anymore. We had misbehavior, of course, a lot of that, but we didn't have fits. That's where the kid just simply says, I'm so mad, I don't care what I look like, and I'm going to explode in your face and you and anybody else in the nearby vicinity, and so what? Well, she showed him so what early on, and I think what you're trying to do is reteach your daughter because you kind of let her slip a little bit down the wrong path with fits, and now you're trying to turn around, which is a great thing. She's still a little kid. You're way, way early. But You're gonna get some resistance now because it slipped the other direction. Okay, bud.
One more quick question. I'm sorry, I don't want to take anybody else's time. How long is a good time for punishment? Like what I tried one point was.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm up against break on my Francis real quick.
Okay.
What you decide. Most people are pretty reasonable about this. You're not going to stand her in a corner for 2 hours, but you may decide she's going to stand there until I decide she's calm. Until I decide she's ready to come out. That may be more than 4 minutes. Most parents do too short a period of time. They put a kid there for 2-3 minutes, or they say, come out when you feel you're calm or when you're ready, which generally is not a good thing to do because a smart, savvy kid will go over there, sit down, touch his butt down for about 6 seconds, get back up and go, I'm ready, which is what I did to my mother. I loved it when she gave me the choice. Go to your room and come down when you think you're ready to be good. I'd go to my room, I'd walk in, I'd put one step over the threshold, I'd walk back out, and I'd say, I think I'm ready. Thanks, Philip. I'll see you.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Ray.
This is Dr. Ray, 877-573-7825. AveMariaRadio.net is the website if you want to listen live, or you want to have your friends with their children or their lives listen, and EWTN.com, and DrRay.com, DRRAY.com. There's a bunch of stuff on my website that might help you, too, with a lot of these kinds of parenting things. All right. Be back.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray.
Now, don't you feel better?
The price of everything is just going through the roof. First, it was gas prices last summer. Then my heating bill doubles, and we didn't even have a cold winter. And can you believe it? The minimum payment on my credit card just doubled.
Well, you could be me.
What do you mean?
We've got an adjustable rate mortgage.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it changes almost every month. It's gotten to the point where we don't know what our payments are going to be from one month to another. How can you have a budget when the price of everything is going sky high?
It's one thing to feel the pinch from an unexpected jump in gas prices or your heating bill, but your mortgage payment? I don't think so. Call Ken Town at Fellowship Home Lending. Ken can help you consolidate that credit card debt, refinance your home, and get you out of that adjustable rate mortgage so you know exactly what your payment will be each and every month. Call 800-660-6433 today and talk with Ken Town at Fellowship Home Lending. That's 800-660-6433. Fellowship, it's not just a company name, it's who we are and how we do business.
The Ave Maria CD library continues to grow. To complement Father Ricardo's 17 CD set on the rite of Christian initiation for adults, we've repackaged his 8 CD series on the Ten Commandments. The 3-volume RCIA series is $125, and the Ten Commandments set is $68. The MP3 CDs are $70 and $30, respectively. All editions of Crest in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, Putting on the Mind of Christ, The Doctor is In, and Heart, Mind, and Strength are also available. All single talks and programs are on high-quality CDs and are $8.50 each. To place your order for one of these talks or to inquire about a talk topic of interest to you, call 734-930-4506. 734-930-4506 or write orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
No rematch.
I don't know. Maybe it would be better if my name was Dr. Rocky. You know, they got Father Rocky. They do. It's kind of a, you know, I like it. Okay, before we go back to your calls, I said yesterday I would finish this up. And I want to. It's just, it's distressing. I'll reiterate. CBS News poll conducted last spring, 899 American adults asked whether their impression of various religions was favorable, unfavorable, or don't know. 48% had a favorable impression of the Catholic religion. You think, oh, that's not too bad, is it? Hey, that's pretty good, pretty good. Almost half of the people surveyed like the Catholic religion. Let's keep going here. 37% had an unfavorable impression. And you say, well, you know, hey, Dr. A, that's still pretty good. Think about this. Look what our Lord said. He said, you know, they hated me. They're going to hate you. So what do you expect? 48 positive, 37 negative. That's not too bad until you start to compare it with others. For example, Protestantism, other Christians, 58% favorable, 12 unfavorable. That's 5-to-1 ratio. 5 favorable to every 1 unfavorable. If you say, but Dr. Ray, we're a Protestant Christian country. So, therefore, there's a lot of misperception around the Catholic Church, and especially given the scandals and all of this, what's the story here? So, you would expect a 5-to-1 ratio. Okay, but let's take a look at this. Judaism. 47% favorable, 16% unfavorable. In other words, 3-to-1 favorable for Judaism. That's not a Christian religion. Christian fundamentalism. 31-31. Another 31% favorable, 31 unfavorable. Now, about 25% of the population identifies themselves as Catholic. About a quarter. Now, we don't know how many are actually in any way, shape, or form practicing, or how many have left and gone to other churches who still call themselves Catholic. But even if you say that of the 25%, most of them have a favorable view of the Catholic faith, that means very few of the general population have a favorable view. One quarter of those surveyed who are non-Catholics would have a favorable impression, which means more than one-third had an unfavorable one. We're losing. Now listen to this. This is a kicker. This is a kicker. All other religions, even the ones most unfavorably related, which were Christian fundamentalism, Latter-day Saint, and Islam and Scientology, a sizable percentage, 30 to 41%, were willing to say, I don't know. In other words, they gave the benefit of the doubt. How many said, I don't know with regard to the Catholic faith? 15%. In other words, most people think they know enough about the Catholic faith to say, I either like her or I don't. The question becomes, what are the factors underlying this? First thing you point to, of course, is the scandals. Scandals just reached such high levels of publicity that I have friends who just looked at it and said, wow, that Catholic religion is just phew. Okay, all right, say the scandals. You could say, well, the Catholic Church has some moral principles, especially in the areas of sex, marriage, that people just don't like, don't agree with it, don't want it, think they're nosy, think they're sticking their heads into our family business, and so they're angry at the church regarding reproduction, regarding abortion, regarding marriage, divorce, regarding human sexuality. That's the stuff where Americans are really prickly about, and the Catholic Church has definitive stances on that, so therefore I don't have a favorable impression of that nosy, busybody, old institution. Okay, that's one other explanation. Part of what's bothersome is not too many people had the humility to say, I don't really know about the Catholic Church all that much. I know the bits and pieces that I've heard from others. You could speculate how many of that unfavorable group is Catholic. Could be some folks sitting in the pews saying, yeah, I come here. I come here because my grandparents came here. I come here because my mother came here. I guess I'm still Catholic. I got no place else to go. I like singing in the choir. Or, yeah, I do work around here. Some of my friends are here. This is kind of nice. We have a festival and a bingo night. That's pretty cool. But I'll tell you the truth, I don't agree with everything the Catholic Church says. And if somebody actually came to them, push came to shove, and said, favorable, unfavorable, they'd go, I'd have to lean unfavorable, all things considered. So some of those folks with the unfavorable impression could be Catholics. A little bit of a wake-up call for us, truly. You know, you hear the old, live in such a way that the impression will be favorable. Okay, I hope we can do that. But you know as well as I do how tough that is. When I used to sit in Bible study, people would come up to me and say, well, I don't think we need to talk about our religion. I don't think... You know when somebody talks about abortion and they says, well, I'm Catholic, but I just think it's a woman's right to pick out what she wants to do with her own body. I don't think we need to say anything. I think it's far more important that we just live holy examples. And that'll convert people. You know what St. Francis said? Preach the gospel often, and if necessary, use words. So, you know, that's my philosophy. I remember thinking, something must be wrong with me. Because I've never had anybody come up to me and say, Ray, I have just been so attracted to the Catholic faith by your holiness. You know that? You are just so holy, so devout. You're a walking gospel preaching. That's what you are. Maybe I'm just so holy that they're intimidated to say that. You think that could be it? No, I think it's real important that we all know our faith and we're all willing to discuss it and talk it reasonably, charitably, confidently, thoughtfully, because otherwise there's not enough people in my life, I think, who look at me and say, boy, I'd sure like to know what it is about that guy that makes him so different, so saint-like. Yeah. Maybe you guys can do it, you know? But the only time that happens is when you really, for whatever the reason, are a person in someone's life who reaches out to them and treats them with incredible kindness and thoughtfulness and charity when many others don't. The unwed mother who has no place to turn. The elderly person whom nobody visits. You got a chance of having that. But even then, it isn't your overall holiness. It's your kindliness towards that person. Huh. Interesting polls. All right. Jim from Wyoming. Larry, don't go anywhere. I want to talk to you, Larry, because that's a goal I would want to talk about. Jim from Wyoming has a comment on what I'm talking about. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Dr. Ray. I like your show. I like your philosophy. One thing I wanted to add on your as to why people form an opinion, what they do with the Catholic Church. I think a big thing that I didn't hear you mention, unless you did before I got it back on, but it was the media, the way they present it, and in regard to the movies that are being shown, like the Da Vinci Code, that totally full of untruth, and people form opinions on that, what they see. And then, of course, like you said, the scandals, a lot of it was true, but there was a lot of stuff reported that, in a way, that was skewed and not true. And what do you think about that?
I think you're absolutely correct.
Okay, thank
you. Totally
Dr.
correct. I think that I read an article somewhere, and you probably heard it here on Catholic Radio, that the last acceptable prejudice in the U.S. cuts across all demographies. It cuts across sex. It cuts across socioeconomic class. It cuts across races. Is anti-Catholic.
Yeah, it's cool. Mm-hmm. It's cool. Yep, thanks, Dr.
Okay,
Ray.
Bud.
Appreciate all your work.
Thank you, Jim. Got some good calls up here. Allison, don't go anywhere, but I have to take Larry. Larry from Louisiana. Hi, Larry.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You got a book that's going to make me not be Catholic?
Well, I just started reading it not long ago, but yeah, the Catholic faith seems to be started by Constantine.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What book you reading?
The book Fossilized Customs by Luke White. Why don't you give it a read?
Well, let me help you out there. I've read an awful lot of those books. I don't know if you know this, Larry, but I left the church for 10 years.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I left her so badly that I was even wondering a bit about this God thing and this Jesus thing. And I read, I think it's safe to say hundreds of books and tapes and thousands of articles. Oh, man, from all kinds of folk. And let me just quickly address the old Constantine thing. If you look back in the first three centuries of Christianity and you look at the writings we have available from people who knew the apostles or from people who were leaders in the church, what you'll find is that much of what they taught, much of what they believed, is pretty much what the Catholic Church teaches and believes today.
Well, I believe in God. I don't believe in the church.
Well,
I think it's a religion founded on money, and that's about it. You know, give it a read, and I'll give you a call back and see what you think. Okay.
Okay. Well, you hold on there, Larry. Okay. You go. I'm going to say I got to address this. Come on, I can't let 10 years of what I did just go to waste. Where do I begin? Constantine. Yes, Constantine was an emperor in Rome, and Constantine essentially said the Christian religion, at that time the only Christian religion was the Catholic religion, said that we're going to make the officially recognized religion of the Roman Empire, at least on this direction here, Catholic. And by the way, it was called Catholic as early as probably about 100, somewhere in there, by St. Ignatius, who was, of course, a follower of the disciple John for many, 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 many years. So you got to figure Ignatius heard right straight from the horse's mouth. He didn't start the Catholic faith. Catholic faith was in existence long before that. Otherwise, he couldn't have said, it's going to be our state religion, or in essence, our recognized religion of the Roman Empire, or at least around here. So it already had to be before he could go, I'll recognize it. Just a little bit of logic there. But secondly, you can't say you believe in God and then say, but I don't believe in what he said. If there's a God, and if Jesus Christ was God on earth, then Jesus said a lot of things. If you believe that Jesus was who he said he was, and you believe that what was written about him was reliable, then he, many different places, said, I want a church. I want a church to speak and teach through the ages. And there's going to be people in charge of this church. Humans with sin. Oh, come on. The first people he picked, one of them betrayed him. One of them denied before a slave girl that he even knew him. And the other nine scattered. The only one that didn't was probably a teenage kid named John. Teenagers are feisty, you know. So God himself picked people to head his church who were flawed. Nevertheless, here we are 2,000 years later, and that church still exists all over the world. And if you say, oh, I believe in God, I just don't believe in religion. Religion is just, you know, people misusing other people, and religion is money, and religion is conspiracy, religion is power, religion is homosexual priests doing things to guys. And well, there is certainly some of that, because religion is human. At one level. At another level, it's God. Because God said, I'll guide my church. I'll protect it. It's going to be in existence till I come back. You got my word on that. So I think what Larry's alluding to is that he doesn't like religion. He doesn't mean that. He means I don't like the people who commit sins within religion. That's what he means. I don't either, Larry. But you know one interesting thing? Those people who commit sins within that religion, one of them is me. So if I have to turn around and look at all these other people and say, I don't want any part of religion because of you wretched sinners. When I was in the Protestant world, one of the thoughts we were often told is if you're looking for the perfect church to join, as soon as you join it, it won't be perfect anymore. Now what they meant, of course, was the human component of the church. Guy told me he didn't want a church of fish. I'm trying to keep typing there. Did this come in from a priest? Oh, that's cool. We have a priest to call in. He said, a guy told me he didn't want to join a church full of hypocrites. And the priest said, well, why not? There's always room for one more. Now, that's the kind of response I like, Father. God bless you. That's a good one. But you know, an interesting thing about being a hypocrite. Of course there are hypocrites within the Catholic Church. There's a bunch of them. Why? Because there are standards. The only way you can be a hypocrite is to preach a standard and then willfully, deceptively go against it. Not out of weakness. That's sin. But a hypocrite is where you essentially don't live deliberately, deceptively, what you say you believe. Well, the only way you can be a hypocrite is to have a standard. If I don't have any standards, then I can't be a hypocrite. If my attitude is, hey, what's right for me is right for me, and what's wrong for you is wrong for you, and that's okay. And if you want to get married 7 times and have 9 children out of wedlock and scatter them all over the map, who am I to say you're wrong? Well, heck, if I do the same thing, I can't be a hypocrite. But I could be a hypocrite in the Catholic Church if I did that. Because on one hand, I'd say, no, marriage is for life between a man and a woman. And you need to take care of those children, and that's your responsibility, and it's your godlike call. And then I turn around and just go kind of do my own thing. Well, yes, I am a hypocrite. But that's because I had a standard to be a hypocrite against. Oh, where are we going here? Allison, I got a break. Yeah, you're right, right, right. Allison, don't go anywhere. Mike, don't go anywhere. Okay, I'm gonna get both of you on the other side of this break. I won't give out the number. You should have it on your refrigerator by now. I'll be back.
All the advice, none of the bills. Come in. The doctor is in.
We're here with Bert Gezzi, the author of the book Voices of the Saints. And today, Bert will be talking about a 4th century bishop, St. Cyril of Jerusalem. His feast day is March 18th.
Cyril was bishop of Jerusalem during the heyday of the Arian heresy that taught that Christ wasn't God, that he was a creature. And that was a heresy that was condemned at the Council of Nicaea in 325, but it still burgeoned on in the 4th century. So Cyril spent most of his time trying to straighten that out and oppose it. So of his 37 years as bishop, he spent 16 of them in exile because the Arians were very powerful politically and influenced emperors to kick him out of town for a period of time. But ultimately, he and the other bishops prevailed, and the heresy was finally condemned at the Council of Constantinople in 381. Cyril's best known for his catechetical preparations. He left us a series of catechetical lectures that prepared people for baptism at Easter and trained them in Christian living after Easter, and a very practical teaching, even fresh for this day. For example, we proclaim the crucified and the devil's quake. So don't be ashamed of the sign of the cross. Openly seal it on your forehead, that the devils may behold the royal sign and flee trembling far away. Make the sign of the cross when you eat or drink, when you sit, when you lie down or get up, when you speak, when you walk. In a word, make the sign of the cross at everything that you do. His life message to us is really, if you want to grow up in Christ and be mature in Christ, you have to pay attention to the basics of Christian teaching. You've got to really apply those basics to your life every day.
We always get in trouble when we forget about the basics, don't we?
Right.
And that's Bert Gezzi, author of the book Voices of the Saints.
What if myself is immoral and rotten? Thank you for letting me go to my own self-destruction. What if myself mistreats people? That's one of those cliches that just sounds so nice, doesn't it? Thank you for letting me be myself. What is myself? What if myself isn't really a very positive thing? Okay, well, that's just a song, right? Great. You're getting a little too heavy on just analyzing songs. Lighten up, would you? Allison from Oregon is calling. She is converting to the Catholic faith. Poll of those Americans who said that their view of the Catholic faith, 37% of them had an unfavorable view. Hi, Allison.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to share with everybody that it is, and to know the truth, that it is only found in the Catholic Church. And humility is found in the Catholic Church. Graces are found here, and most importantly, the Eucharist. And those who are willing to pause and to smell the fragrance that comes from the about those in high places. I'm talking about those that are out there helping the unborn and helping stand, keep encouraging Catholics. Just tell them what the fragrance is, though, because faith is something that we've received, but we...
I've heard a lot of people say that. It's almost like their eyes were opened up and they said, I didn't see it before, but it makes so much sense now.
And, you know, and it happened with my husband and I within the same month. Two evangelical Christians, born again, on fire, boy, so full of thinking that we really had a lot of it figured out, and took us completely by surprise. But, you know, 8 years we listened to the local Catholic radio station because we heard truth. And the parts we didn't agree with, whatever. But the slow drip kept affecting us, and then other points I was like, oh, wow, well, you're having problems with miscarriages. Oh, there's the Pope Paul the Sixth Institute. They're having steadfastly been doing research and helping people.
What would make you a committed evangelical even begin to look at what the Catholic Church thinks?
Well, I'm a strong advocate of Catholic radio because it is a way for people to listen in on the Catholic faith without anybody else having to know about it.
Fascinating.
And so I had a chance over years to be exposed to something that otherwise, you are right, I think it's flat out ignorance. People just don't know the truth, and they only know what they've seen on in the media, and they've seen the priests that have sinned, but they're no more human or less human than I am, and all of us who really understand that God is so big, we're just these little ants.
Well, some of us are uncles, but that's okay.
Okay. Yeah. But I just really wanted people to know you're doing great things out there. But just don't forget to tell them with the same humility that all of you are worshiping in. It is so holy and reverent in a Catholic church. It's beautiful.
Allison, you sound like you are big time excited, honey. Thank you so much for the call. You call me back. I got to run to Mike quickly. I want to get to him before the show's up. But bless you, honey. And I want to talk to you some more, okay? All right. Mike from L.A. Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Okay.
I just have a quick question. Is it correct that the making of a Protestant is someone who opposes the Pope and the Vatican stands?
That might be a bit narrow in its definition. Someone...
Okay, I'll make it easier.
Yeah, make it easier.
We have a new pastor, and I asked him, since he advertises a liberal group, that they advocate the teachings of the Archbishop of Cincinnati, which he's a very liberal bishop, and they call it social justice. So I asked him, and I wrote him a letter, if you advertise social justice and just show the Vatican website, EWTN, and Catholic League. And he responded, absolutely not, because they're all conservative. And I said, they're conservative to conserve the faith. And then I asked him, are you for abortion? And he told me flat out, I will not answer that question. So to me, that blew me away that a priest will not take a stand and say that he's against abortion. So I began to think that he's actually a Protestant dressed up as a Catholic priest. At the end of Mass, he won't say, may Almighty God bless us. He just says, may us all be blessed. So that's what I struggle with right now.
All right. Well,
I'm not leaving the parish because of this.
Right, don't. Let me offer you two things. One, he's not a Protestant. He may be a bad Catholic. He's not a Protestant. Two, with something as large in its membership as the Catholic Church, there are certainly all kinds of folks who are going to take it upon themselves to have their own beliefs and push their own beliefs and decide what percentage of the Catholic faith they're going to adhere to. And some of those are clergy.
Right.
That's
tough.
It's always been that way. You look at the history of the church. Look at the history of the church.
But the problem is he's manipulating a lot of conservatives that I know. Oh, but he brings so many people to come to these spiritual events and everything else. And I feel like saying that, well, Hitler was able to gather millions of people as well.
If this person is deliberately undermining the faith,
yep,
then he will be speaking to God someday.
Well, but the problem is that he's taking a stand for all these liberals that are for homosexual marriages, and they come to Mass, and I'm telling them to their face now that you guys are Protestant. You don't even believe in a rosary. They don't believe in Our Lady of Fatima. They don't believe in anything.
Don't go that far, Mike. Don't do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Just quietly pray for folks who might be misguided, misled, or rebellious. Pray for them.
But it's affecting our youth.
Well, then...
That's the problem.
If you
if Christ said, Matthew 18... And if I don't take a stand, then I'm just as wrong as those that are pushing this insane agenda upon our kids.
You can take a stand, and you got to find ways to teach. Maybe you can give the youth Pillar of Fire, Pillar of Truth by Catholic Answers, or you can teach the high school CCD, or you can offer Bible study in your house. Many ways for faithful Catholics to teach the faith. Many ways.
Well, I'm not all that good qualified. That's why I just keep on passing everyone along a piece of paper with your website, EWTN. That's what I just keep on doing to all
there
the
you
kids.
Go. There you go.
I got one high school kid now that he's listening to you, and so that's been my approach now. But it's very frustrating when someone doesn't even want to follow canon law.
Understand that humans are allowed to do what they want, and whenever you get frustrated, just remember something I said 10, 15 minutes ago, which is our Lord himself handpicked his followers, and one of them betrayed him, one of them denied him in public, and nine of them ran. All right, buddy. Hang in there. Dr. A, gotta go. Doctor is out. But I was in for a while, and appreciate all of your company and you guys being in cool, in the sense of being, as I say, with it. Good Lord permitting, tomorrow. Thank you, Andrew, for call screaming, board operating. Walk with God, hold your kids tight by the hand.
For more great advice from Dr. Ray, log on to www.AveMariaRadio.net and click on Shows and Hosts, where you'll find a link to his personal webpage. The Doctor Is In is a production of Ave Maria Radio. Be with us next time for The Doctor Is In.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 6. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts. Questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
On a recent Friday evening, Father Ricardo spoke before the Family of Faith Apostolate Gathering. In this culture, when many people preach that there is no truth, everything is relative, Father Ricardo talked about virtues versus vices and asked the audience which they would choose. You'll want to listen to Christ is the Answer this week. It's heard Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the answer.
Hi, I'm a Han F3 office chair. Why F3? No idea. Probably some marketing thing. But come here and take a seat on my oh-so-stylish frame. Feel that? Yeah, that's my Alira stretch fabric back, conforming to your every move. You know, we could be doing this every day. You, me, maybe a spreadsheet or two?
The F3 chair from Han. Designed with fit, form, and function in mind. Han. Smart.